What if gig workers could train the algorithms that determine their pay? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino in for Molly Wood. A couple of drivers for the delivery app DoorDash may have found a way to trick the algorithm that serves them jobs into offering better pay. Bloomberg profiled their effort, which is called #DeclineNow. They encourage other drivers to decline all the lowest paid jobs to get the app to offer more money. But to make it work, they need lots of drivers on board, and that can be tricky with gig workers. They don't share a break room, after all. Instead, they're getting together online in Facebook groups and on Reddit. Lindsay Cameron is a professor of management at the Wharton School who studies gig workers and worked as an Uber driver herself for a while.
So there's no way for workers to have worker-to-worker communication via the app itself. There's no Slack line or anything like that. So the few times workers are able to connect, it can be in person. You know, I met other ride-hailing drivers when I was at a parking lot or at the inspection station. And beyond that, it's usually just these online forums, which only a minority of drivers are active on the forums. But for the people that are on the forums, these are really, you know, they're like the virtual water cooler where people can share tips, how the platform has changed, things like that.
Now, also, gig workers, instead of having a traditional boss or a supervisor direct their work, they are dictated sort of by algorithms that aren't always the most transparent. So to what extent are gig workers able to sort of tease out how these algorithms work?
As workers, you're just sort of doing these best guesses about, you know, based on your lived experience, what do you think the surge prices are going to be? Or what do you think is a fair amount to accept for a delivery? And then you're sort of guiding, you're sort of making your own rules about what feels right to you or what's the best way to respond to the algorithm based on what you yourself, you know, are experiencing through your everyday work.
And maybe beyond you yourself, it seems like maybe that's where sharing information becomes really important in these groups, because you may have a hard time with just your own experience of the app, understanding how these kind of larger patterns are working.
Exactly. I mean, if you're going back to the beginning of the 19th century, where you're getting this sort of union power that sort of the precursors to that. A lot of this was because workers were able to sort of share experiences, you know, in the break rooms or, you know, on the shop floor, walking in and out of the assembly line, which sort of allowed people to share information and eventually sort of protest and have more humane work practices. And the fact that there's no organic way as part of the work for individuals to have this communication patterns puts them at a disadvantage on how to share information and sort of how to guesstimate how might the algorithm actually be working and how they can have the algorithm work more in their favor.
So this decline now movement that the DoorDash drivers are trying, can this really work?
It can work, yes, particularly if you're in really small areas. You know, these drivers were in the Lehigh Valley where there's only a limited number of drivers. I think the question is, how long can that actually work? If these companies bring in a greater supply of drivers, they can decline as much as they want, but there could be new workers coming in. Or maybe the app will somehow change and make it so they won't offer any orders that are over $7. What I'm trying to say is, of course, these movements can work on the small scale, but they're not a long term, you know, they're not going to have the same effect as we think about these, you know, things like strikes and boycotts that, you know, really shape the labor movement. These sort of platform workers, because the work is so decentralized, but also very place or geographic dependent, are not going to have the same staying power.
Lindsay Cameron is a professor of management at the Wharton School. And now for some related links. Of course, we've got the link to the full article in Bloomberg Business Week about the Decline Now movement, which it reports has attracted about 40,000 gig workers, some of whom are apparently a bit aggressive about shaming other drivers who don't go along with the plan. And then there's the constant influx of new drivers lured by incentives to sign up with the apps, something Uber and Lyft are apparently having to do a lot of these days. The Financial Times reports the rideshare companies are throwing money at drivers in the U.S. Uber is launching a $250 million fund to attract drivers, what they're calling a stimulus package, because so many left the platforms when business tanked during the pandemic and moved on to other driving jobs, carting groceries instead of bar hoppers. Lyft CEO Logan Green compared the challenge of getting drivers back on the platform to turning the Titanic. Not the most confidence-instilling metaphor, but sure. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.